Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And back for another week of the Fifth and Last NRL podcast. And Timmy Witt, we're both back from a little bit of time away, mate. How was your Easter and the holiday?
It was good to get away, mate. Yeah, back to reality now, back into work and the swing of things. But yeah, good little bit of R&R with the family and yeah, straight back into it, mate. Certainly didn't have the football holiday that you found yourself on last week, but yeah, it was good all the same, mate. How's things at your end?
Pretty good. You hit the nail on the head. I had a bit of a bonanza. Went down to Melbourne for the first time in maybe 3 years, which was good. Can't say I was impressed with the game. I know a lot of people were. It was frustrating as a Melbourne fan, but they won, so I'm not going to complain about that. And then I was lucky enough to get back and sneak around work and sneak down to see Boxhead, and he had another win. So with the draw still undefeated, which is good, and first grade had a big bounce back, which was good. They were very impressive live too.
It's a good blowout, and yeah, that 6:15 slot. Somehow Canberra find himself in it every week. Now it's might be a good little omen for them, but yeah, good to hear the big man's doing well and kicking goals himself, mate. So let's crack on.
Well, here we are. People have been loving it so far, which is great to hear. Keep the feedback coming. Timmy's doing an outstanding job, and we appreciate him coming on board this season. But as we always do, this betting preview is brought to you by bluebet.com.au. If you're going to have a bet with anyone, make sure you do it with the True Blue Bookie. Download the app today or visit the website. There was a couple of upsets last week, a couple of big results. There's a few teams that started well that obviously have had a bit of a slump. And now round six already, crazy enough to think. I know a couple of teams have had a bye, but for some, without the bye, already a quarter of the season gone. So we're certainly into the thick of it now. We kick things off Thursday night. It's the Newcastle Knights up against the Roosters. The Knights, they're unchanged from last week. The only possibility, I guess, is a late inclusion of Greg Marju. He's been listed in the 22, so could be a late inclusion. And Dylan Lucas, his name to start, he was a late inclusion last week, but Frizzell is out. But for the Roosters, chaos ensued last week. That game in the wet, injuries, suspension. Dom Young's going to be out, I think, for 3 weeks or 2 weeks. He took the guilty plea. Tedesco, Walker, concussion. So the shuffle there is Watson into the halves. Zach Docker-Clay has joined the bench. Michael Jennings, who come in late because of the concussions, is playing his 300th game in the centres, and Pauga comes in on the wing. So a swag of changes after a chaotic week for the Roosters. Newcastle, the opposite effect, played really, really well in the rain, got a tough result at home. How do you see this one, my friend?
Yeah, mate, it's just interesting in the sense that I think the weather played its part pretty much last week for both teams scheduled on that Friday evening. So I know for the Roosters, in losing last week, a lot went against them, obviously, with the concussions and the send-off. And it was a pretty out-of-the-box sort of first half for the Roosters. I can actually see this one being a bit closer this week. I actually think Manu getting the ball in his hands a fair bit more is going to be a bit of an upside. You saw that in the second half last week. Obviously, a bit of fatigue from the Bulldogs when Manu was able to move around with Keary as well. They started to get some points on them, and I think it might actually simplify the Roosters game a bit more with Watson being at six and then forcing the hand with Manu to get involved. So they've got Newcastle as the favourites. I can't take stock, and I'm really struggling with a form line on the Dragons, and you throw the weather mix into that. Where were the Knights at? Yes, it was 30-10. Probably could have been more if it was dry conditions, but it was against the Dragons again. So I said, I'm sort of struggling with that form line. I'm probably happy to chalk last week for the Roosters up as an out-of-the-box sort of performance. And I actually think this one's going to be much closer than expected. I'm thinking decent games from Manu and also the Roosters forward pack. And I think that's where the work's going to be done. For the Roosters have any success, their forwards are going to be really punching through and be a bit more disciplined than they were in the middle last week. And for the Knights, as I said, I'm just where I'm a bit lost at the moment is just those combinations. And even some of their wins have been clunky. I just, yeah, struggling to take some form lines there, mate. So, yeah, keen to hear your thoughts on this one.
I'm similar to you. I look at Newcastle and all those other games. I thought they were pretty disappointing. I didn't like the fact, and I literally said it in the season preview. I thought they were going to chop and change the halves, and maybe if they did too much of that, and on top of Brayley coming back in at the ninth spot, that the constant tinkering, you get no consistency whatsoever in your spine. But what probably bothered me more until last week is I thought their forward pack had been a bit underwhelming, probably besides the Englishman, Pierce Paul. And Lucas around his injuries, like a couple of the front rowers, the Saifidis, Hetherington, etc. I think there's some pretty good go forward there. But last week again, I thought, oh yeah, that's probably the best effort from their forward pack. The halves played the conditions well, but again, it's the Dragons who have been up and down like a fiddler's elbow. It was wet weather football, which they handled better. But then on the flip, I look at the Roosters and they're a bit similar. I looked at the Manly game and thought, as bad as they were, they were so bloody resilient defensively. But then they toss up a game against Penrith where they're completely sideways. They didn't want to engage. They weren't tough. They didn't want to play for the middle. Then the last 10 minutes, they played direct. And you're like, well, that football there would have probably made that a contest. And then 50% completions, shit hits the fan last week. The second half, they complete 80 plus, play direct, get down to 11, but still borderline winning that game. Like, the frustrating thing for me, Newcastle, I don't think are their own worst enemy. I think they're finding their way and they're still trying to work through some things. But the Roosters, I just think, honestly, they're their own worst enemy. That's the frustrating for the Roosters. So, but I'm with you. I think Manu at one means run. Watson at six means run. Cheese at nine means run. So if Kiri can steer the ship and at least dig in and play a little bit direct, lean on their forwards, lean on all those guys to play direct. Then I guess that reshuffle, like Jennings, it's hard to get a read last week. He's the 36-year-old centre playing first grade. Like, to be honest, he looks exactly like he did in the past with a lot of grey hair. But in terms of movement or playing 80 and defending against Brad McBest, I don't know what to. I also know there's a bit of controversy around this that some people might want to talk about, but I'm not going to touch that like in a betting preview or a round preview. But I understand both sides of that argument. But yeah, I don't know. I don't trust either team a lot. I definitely think, similar to you, it'll be close to what people think. But maybe, just maybe, I'm leaning slightly towards Newcastle just because it's a week of stability. Brayley's had a few runs now. I think this is the halves pairing they should have started with from the start. And a few of those
Yeah, I
forwards
agree.
showed some good signs. And purely on that and being at home and better conditions this week, not a fucking tsunami, I'll slightly go Newcastle, but nothing would surprise me with the Roosters. If they play their best football, they still got enough talent to win.
Put it to the near 10,000 fans that went out to that last week.
Mate,
I
that
found myself
dude
in one.
ripping into that hot dog got over talking to himself. I was like, you beautiful son of a bitch.
I think old mate's eaten plenty worse, to be fair, having a look at him. But look, that was some of the worst conditions I've seen. I was at the World Club Challenge last year against St. Helens and it came down, but it dried out. That was just relentless. But I'm actually going to go the other way, mate. I'm going to go against you. I'm going to tip the Roosters. I just think, to your points, I think they've shot themselves in the foot too many times this season already. I said I'm putting probably a little bit too much stock in them playing their best and getting it right. But I think Tedesco's been massive at the start of the year. But I just think with Manu going out to the back and with the halves being out, it may just force some simplification of their game plan and the forwards just to roll their sleeve up and go through. Actually, I have the Cheese as an anytime try scorer as a sneaky. I think he's going to have to get far more involved and calling upon himself to, as you said, really dig in this week. And going against my better judgment, Newcastle at home, they're always pretty stoic, but I'm thinking just with some outs this week, this is the one to bounce back. And the biggest head scratcher for me still too is I can't believe Michael Jennings is still running around. Not from a controversy side of things. He's a couple of years older than you, a couple of years younger than me. The last thing I think of is lacing a boot. I thought he was gone. To see him come back and play 300, I think, is one of the most surprising things. I certainly wouldn't have had that as a as a betting market at the start of the year. You could have written your own price at my end, but look, 300 games. He's hit that milestone, 51st person within the NRL to do it. The Roosters will do something behind the closed doors. So be it. But I'm going to go the Chooks this week, mate. Smell a little upset in a real tight one.
Well, if you like that, with bluebet.com.au, it's $2.40 for the Chookies as the outsider up there in Newcastle. The Knights are $1.58. 4.5 is the start there. So if you like the outside value, you can do what we've done. And a lot of people have messaged actually, and I got a laugh saying, I love that you guys do that because that's what we do. You could go 6.5, 8.5, 10.5 if you want to juice it up and not take the head to head. I'm a filthy man for taking extra points if I can get $1.40,
Yeah.
$1.50.
Look, I'm a degenerate at heart, as are most people out there. It works in your favor some weeks, it doesn't. But yeah, I think Roosters with a start is likely the safe bet in that sense, rather than the head to head. Potentially either team 1-12 also gets my interest. If you're going with the try bet options. But yeah, if I'm looking for a try scorer, I think for, as I said, for the Roosters, I like Cheese coming out of rake there to potentially cross a line. I think that's where the work's got to come from the Chooks, and he's a sniff at any time as well.
550 for the Cheese. Manu, I think anytime he's getting that many touches, he's 287 at the moment. Big odds for him. On the flip, because I'm with the Knights, probably head to head. I don't know if I like the head to head. It's not something I'd probably bet on for that reason. But try scorer value, no offense to Jenko, but you are a 36-year-old man. I can barely get up and run in the morning. I'm not an athlete like Michael Jennings, but
That's fair.
first game, full 80 minutes against Bradman Best and Ponga, who really like to play that left-hand channel. Wouldn't surprise me if a bit of extra traffic went there, but he's $2.37. Pong is 225. My value pick this week in this game, I think he's looked actually pretty sharp. Is Pierce Paul? He hasn't crashed over yet, but he's a big body. There's actually not a price for him here, so can't give you one on that right there. But maybe they readjusted that one or something's happened there. But if he, since he hasn't scored yet as a back row, I'm going to assume he's probably at least around the fours. Oh, sorry, there you go. I've missed him. Pierce Paul is $4.33.
Yeah, just a shade over $4 there. I think for Knights fans, he's been a good pickup. He's been a
Hey,
good find.
looks good.
And they probably haven't paid overs for him either. He's come out here for the opportunity. Look, they got it with Dom Young, and you've seen him bounce over to the Roosters. They've got another one here in Piers Paul. The Raiders have done it for a few years. I love seeing the Englishman come out here and jump in. It's even better when it's starting to pay dividends. And I think the Knights have got a good one here as well.
So yeah, I just think maybe that left-hand side for them is where I like, but I'm sort of with you. Whatever way you'd go, if you were going to go head to head, Roosters, you're obviously going to get the odds. Newcastle, if you want to juice it a bit, 1-12 would probably be a better bet than the head to head. If you want to get something, get $3. But we'll move on from that one. Doggy Storm, early Friday game down at Melbourne. I'm a little bit excited just to watch them again because every week so far there's been a bit of change. We've had no Munster, we had Hughes in and out, Papps sort of built nicely. We've had a couple of different back row options. Last week, in my opinion, was the first time I sort of looked at the 1-13, probably minus Nelson, and thought this is what I think our best side looks like. Looking at the centre pairing, looking at the back row pairing with Bloor coming in now. Waiting for Nelson to come into the mix. Wishart had been that 14. They weren't great defensively, but a couple like week two, especially having Munster and Hughes back in, Katoa and Bloor. I'm pretty happy and excited to watch this week. Nelson is in the squad finally. They haven't had him in. He's had a few runs at New South Wales Cup. I don't buy into the media saying they're off him and everyone's this. Like, mate, him and Matt Tripp have got a ridiculously close relationship for family reasons. It's plain and simple. The bloke come back out of shape. And Craig
Yeah.
Bellamy just dropped him and told him as much. He's had a couple of injuries as well. That didn't help, but they wanted to get minutes because there's no point playing him if they can't rely on him. So I don't think
Yeah.
there's anything in it. I think he will be in this week, but for the Bulldogs, just chaos. King injured, Edwards with a neck problem last week. Taff KO'd, Mann had a hand injury, and they've still got doubts on Patolo. And there was someone else, Connor Tracey, they were talking about a calf injury. So they still might have two or three more late changes, but they've made a
Yeah.
big reshuffle. Crichton's gone to one. The pack, probably Poasa or Hughes, is going to have to come in if one of those other guys is missing. Bailey Haywood, who come through the juniors as a half. They've been using him as a nine, is going to debut. Katonga's going to play again off the bench. So Liam Knight and a few others might come in late. But Melbourne, in Melbourne, week two of the halves, the spine finally together. Nelson potentially that last bit to come in on that bench rotation. And the back row, like I was excited when we got Bloor if he could stay healthy. But watching him and
Yeah.
Katoa do their work last week with those two halves, I think Melbourne could be in for a good one.
I think Melbourne, with particularly with Bloor, like he'd obviously come through the Penrith system and had been on the radar for Melbourne for some years. Obviously, he spent some time with the Tigers, but they finally got him. I think it's only upside for Melbourne. Like last week was the first time that obviously Munster are coming back in, and I thought it was a little clunky. And to be honest, Broncos, if they could catch and pass, they gave away 12 points there. And whilst it was a really good game, as a fan from an attacking side, defensively and some of the errors there, I think Broncos probably would want that one back. But in the Storm's favour, got the win at home, kicking off those combinations, which you're 6 rounds in and you're only starting to see what is probably your best, at least 13, if not 17. I think it's all upside for Melbourne. The odds say as much. It's $1.10 for the Storm with BlueBet. The Dogs are at $7. I feel for the Dogs, absolutely decimated with injuries. And to your point, a lot of those players still under injury clouds are named. We're recording this Wednesday evening. Come Friday, 6 o'clock, Friday, 5 o'clock, there may be some shuffling around there. And I saw Phil Gould come out and, almost state that in the second half, they were probably down to only 14, not even fit players. Like guys were playing, they were fatigued, but they were injured in that back end of that second half. I just think it's going to be a task too hard for the Dogs down there. And I can understand some stuff, but I'm personally not a subscriber to seeing Crichton at fullback. I think his best spot is in the centres. I'd love to see the Dogs, and it sort of worked in the first 40 last week, just get some early ball out to there. And I thought Burton did a good job in the conditions last week, obviously picking up Kikau, Crichton, others out on the fringes. But yeah, just an absolute terrible run of injuries for the Dogs this week, coming off that strong win. Melbourne in Melbourne, yeah, it's going to be too hard for them, mate. It's your boys for me.
Yeah, I know this time last year, this was a bit of an upset, but different circumstances. I think like you got to give raps to guys like Curran and that who are doing a hell of a job and battling away. And Burton and Kikau, like you said, I thought starting to look pretty good on that edge. But I'm similar to you, defensively, particularly when you're undermanned. I know Sherry's probably trained the house down, and Carraz has played centres a few times, but I prefer him on the wing. I would have left Crichton in the centres, and I probably would have given a debut just because where they're at to young Joash Papali'i. He's a young fullback in cup. He's electric. He's got a bit X factor. And I know this is a hard week to go to Melbourne and probably debut, but under these circumstances with Haywood, Hughes, Katonga, like a lot of young guys, I just would have thrown caution to the wind and gone, mate, like, have at it. If you want to experience first grade, head down to Melbourne, Amy Park, and, let's just throw caution to the wind. We've got nothing to lose.
Yeah, with the Dogs, I mean, getting that win last week and that first half was huge. And if like you put myself in a supporter's shoes for them, that's a huge pleasing effort. Yes, you held on. Don't worry about it. You got a win against the Roosters. I'd go into this thing going, okay, decimated with injury. Let's see some upside. Let's just hope that it's once again effort, because it was there. Obviously, that first 40 blew the Roosters off the park. You'd want at least to come out, fire as many shots as they can. So upside in that sense, but same again, putting myself in your big shoes with your big head, just taking a look, it's about getting those combinations for Melbourne. And I think Hughes and Pappenhausen has worked really well. You've now got Munster into the mix. Obviously they get back into that groove. I want to see that come to fruition and get back to what it was a few years ago before injuries probably crueled the fans from seeing those three sort of work together. Throw Harry Grant into that mix too, but from a betting perspective, $1.10 is way too short. You can't get around it. And for me, it's just got to be try scorer markets. You could probably go Melbourne 13 plus, or even take it out to 18 plus. But the thing in the back of my mind was the effort from the Dogs last week. If they come with the same attitude, maybe the point, it's not going to be a blowout. So for me, I'd start to focus on some anytime try scorers. And I particularly like Pappenhausen. And the other one I like is Jahrome Hughes. I think he's looked really damaging with the ball in hand. When Munster was out, he was playing both sides of the ruck and bouncing around and just a little try sneak. And obviously with some assisting as well. So I see him being really, really active again, and I think he can get over the try line.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Pat under two is no surprise, but very likely if they win the middle here and things open up. But I love the right side. The Hughes Katoa combination was fruitful last week. They're 275 and 287 respectively. I think Money pretty much said as much. He's not going to be 100% all year, but Bloor, similar deal, I think will be someone to look for as they build a bit of a combo. The one I want to probably get late just because I think they might be a bit light in the middle. And if they do carry a few guys under a cloud and lose on the run, would be Nelson's price. If he comes in angry to prove a point,
Yeah,
and
good
they're
point.
undermanned in the middle and he comes in and plays 40, if he is listed late and he's anything, five plus, I'd probably have a sneaky on him. And the one that it gets attached to him, because I think there'll be plenty of tries, Harry has not been anywhere near the running threat so far. But if this is a game
No.
they run in the middle, wouldn't surprise me if this is the week where he sneaks out of dummy half and crashes over as well. So, a couple of the options there that are three plus or above in what might be a blowout. But yeah, if you're a Doggies fan, I guess when you're in this situation, you just got to hope the effort remains. That's all.
Yeah, have a little $10 spin on him as head to head. Stranger things have happened, but I also think it was pleasing to see Kikau start to become a, he's getting unlocked at the last few weeks, and last week that showed. I think again, he might cause an issue for some of the those edges for the Storm if the Dogs get some ball in hand and really take the fight up. He's at $5, so equally again as an anytime try scorer, even to throw into the multis for the games. I think Billy Kikau has a chance at fives.
Always totally agree with you there. That threat on the left, the Battle of Brisbane, another one of the derbies that have come about. Broncos Dolphins 8 p.m. Friday at Suncorp probably would have been one that I would be really, really high on until the Dolphins sort of got crawled a little bit, and Brisbane aren't without their own issues. But Flegler's name for now still under a cloud. Herbie, there was talk today they're tossing up whether they wait and rehab or they have to have surgery, so we don't know what his future holds yet. Couple of suspensions, Plath, Donoghue, Felice looked like me playing Oztag. He tried to hit top gear and blew a hamstring. So
Sniper.
they're already a bit light on in the middle. So Tessie New into the centres, Milford and Wallace onto the bench. For Brisbane, Reynolds is obviously a big out, but Willison back in, Walsh back in is a huge in. They've sort of been poor defensively, but you still see flashes of their attack every now and then. I think from that perspective, it's still dangerous in a derby game against the Dolphins and Wayne Bennett in particular. I think Katoa's been doing a great job year two steering things and Cody playing off him. And, there's a few guys there that have been unheralded doing a job, but I think Walsh back is massive. And Jock Madden is very solid. Like, if they're undermanned and getting beaten to the middle, any half struggles. But in this situation, having Walsh back there behind him is a huge help. It's a good outlet to have. They've maintained Saylor on the bench. Riki apparently is under a cloud with his ankle, but I think maybe they've still got a slight advantage in terms of their starting pack. But yeah, I don't know. It's something about the Dolphins for me, early doors like last year. I think they're going to be gritty and they're going to be tough. But
Yeah.
if Flegler's out, along with Felice, I think they're too light in the middle. So I'd go Brisbane, but I think the first half will be a bit of an arm wrestle. I think Brisbane's second half probably will close this one out.
Yeah, and look, it, both teams crawled with injuries, takes a bit of shine off it, but they'll equally be up for this derby. Broncos get Walsh, getting Walsh back is going to be massive. Look, Tristan Saylor has acquitted himself pretty handily in the first couple of weeks, albeit a couple of strange plays that sort of kick across field at the end of last week and a few things. I think they could probably get a better game manager in Reece Walsh from a set-to-set perspective. Like, I think his kicking game can probably replicate a bit of what Adam Reynolds had been doing. Obviously, he's the big out for the Broncos. But, yeah, I've got the Broncos in front here. And just looking at the prices with BlueBet, market for the Broncos $1.35 for Brisbane, $3.20 for the Dolphins. I probably think it can be a bit closer than that, but particularly with the outs with Reynolds. But I think Walsh coming back in, and I think he's going to be the key player for how this game gets set up. Obviously, coming back from the cheekbone injury, or the orbital injury, but yeah, I think he's going to get a lot of touches. He's going to be central to what Brisbane can do. The other out too, our boy Dean Mariner, he's broken back. That's exactly what you want.
I
Round
broke
six,
my back.
and broke my back. So yeah, both sides decimated. But I'm a bit with you. I don't also don't think the Dolphins have probably played the quality of teams yet and put up a scope. They've had a pretty soft draw. So on the other side of the coin, Broncos have had a quite a tough run to start the year and have sort of come away sort of 50-50. Thought they were really impressive the week before against the Cowboys. Last week, I said I thought they had you guys covered and threw it away at a couple of key moments. I think they're going to bounce back here. And whilst a lot of that centered around Adam Reynolds' kicking game and what he was able to lay on, I think Walsh coming back in still kicks this into their favour.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Wouldn't surprise me looking at their bench too, Smoothie and Sailor. Unless he's worried about Walsh, I wouldn't surprise me if one of them disappeared off the bench and he got Takura back in, who debuted last week, to get another middle. But if not, still think they've got a slight advantage. Like Kenny got his first run last week, but between him, Jesse, if Flegler pulled out and you're talking about Wallace, looking at in their extended bench, like Teague's a kid, Oren Keely's a kid. Would they carry Val Tavare as like a middle slash outside back utility like they've done? Like they're a bit light on. So the Flegler one's a big wait and watch for me. But the two obvious ones here for me, if you want to talk about bets, is both the fullbacks. The Hammer, good, bad, or ugly, is always a threat. So 225, I like that. Walsh being 210, I wish he was a little bit more. It's more reflective of the head to head, but him swinging to those edges, particularly with New now out in the centres. Wouldn't surprise me to see him ripping around that edge and a value sort of pick. I was sort of keen on maybe one of the back rowers like a Reiki, but they've said he's got an ankle injury and may not play. So the other one I sort of looked at again was that left was Cobbo. Cobbo seems to always pop up in the derby games or the ones at Suncorp where there's plenty of noise and atmosphere around it. Some weeks I think he can be a bit disinterested or bored, but big games seem to bring him to the fore. So I think between the two fullbacks and Cobbo, they're probably the couple I was looking at.
I think he's been a bit underwhelming to start the year and almost looks a little bit out of nick, but he is due. He's obviously went awfully close when Dearden ran him down the other week and he had a couple of pretty poor sets of hands through 2 or 3 weeks ago. I think he'll stand up. Mentioned it in probably the last time we spoke, mate, but the guy coming off the bench for me, Tyson Smoothie, absolute try sneak, comes on anywhere from sort of 10 meters out. When the game sort of gets softened up, whenever Walters chooses to inject him, I think he's a little chance of getting over the line. He's at $5.50 for the Broncos and he's around the eights the other week and kicked myself that I didn't get on or changed my same game multi and didn't include him. So that's what happens when you want to have a bet in every game. But I think Smoothie is equally I've been impressed with him coming off the bench anyway. I think he's really stocky and adds a bit of starch there, but he can also find the line. And just speaking against the Dolphins again, I'm not a fan of Milford on the bench either. I really just sort of don't know what he can offer. And I understand they've got some injuries, so at the end of the day, you've got to bring someone on. But I understand he can give you coverage at six and seven and maybe fullback and others. But yeah, I just don't think he's the player that he used to be. Far from it. But as a bench option, I'm sort of struggling with that one there. So it's the Broncos for me. The $1.35, it's short. I think the Broncos to win, but once again, probably aiming towards the try scorer markets there, or a start of a pick your own line where the Broncos maybe only cover 4 or 6 or something like that, as opposed to the line that's been set by BlueBet this week.
The Dolphins, like you said, outsiders with Bluebet, $3.20, 7.5 is the start if you like them. Again, if you think Derby, atmosphere, close, like bit of an arm wrestle, you can maybe squeeze it to 10.5 and still get something okay for maybe a multi. But I'm similar to you. You talk about nines. I really like Marshall King. I don't know if I have the ascendancy, but he's the one similar to me. When they have games where they win the middle and they are inside 20 or inside the 10, he's good value for a bit of a sneak. But yeah, I just find it hard, especially if Flegler's out. That's the hard thing early in the week. This is a wait and see. But on the night, if Flegler is gone, I'd be all over some of those Brisbane spots and looking for a bit of value, whether it is, a Walters or a Smoothie, or if Takura comes on the bench late, like for a bit of value, someone punching through. But yeah, it's probably the two fullbacks and Cobbo there, and they're all in the low twos for me. So 225 for Hammer, 210 for Walsh, Cobbo 225. And literally thought about you when I saw Smoothie. I was at the pub with a mate catching up, looked up when I turned my head because I'd just gone to the bar and saw Smoothie jump over, and I went, Timmy. And my mate said, "Who are you talking to?" I was like,
Yeah.
"Oh, that one." So
Yeah,
you're on.
went real quiet sitting next to the missus when that one went over, thinking,
You're on there.
probably should have got that one sorted, but first world problems, mate.
Yeah, can't win them all. I did it last week. I literally sat there and went, we're at the game. Let's have a crack. Maybe I'll go Katoa because I think he's due, and I'll go Mariner. And then I flipped them ahead, and you go, actually, Munster's back with Bloor, Arthurs. I'll flip that. So Mariner scored the first try, and then Katoa scored the second try. I was sitting in the chair quiet after 15 minutes, just staring into space, going, that was $20. I didn't get it. Bloor didn't score. Arthur scored and then dropped one, and I was just sitting there, ruined on the walk back, going, yeah, I blew it. I blew
Right.
it. First thought, best thought. Early Saturday. Warriors Manly, 3 p.m. in New Zealand. This should be an absolute belter of a game. Manly redeemed themselves last week with a big performance against Panthers. Still to that point, not taken away for any Manly fans because I know they're plenty excited, but still no Sorensen, still no Cleary. Again, any win against Penrith though is a good win. They're a tough side. They're a gritty side. They've generally had an awesome record when they travel to New Zealand, but this is not the same Warriors side. So as much as I think they'll feel comfortable, particularly Cherry Evans, who's kicked left foot and right foot field goals in close games over there, this is a different Warriors outfit. But looking at the teams today, again, not happy hearing this. Johnson, bit of a leg issue. He didn't train. But Webster was confident that they'll rest him for the week and he'll be good to go. They're not worried, but that's never something you want to hear. Bunty Alfoa is out off the bench. They're sticking with Laban, who's a very good young back rower. And Harris DeVita is there, obviously, to cover 9.5. So I assume, again, that's a bit in lieu of having the Egan situation still and a Johnson if they do need him. For Manly, probably the big one, Garrick only lasted a couple of minutes last week. Burbo goes out to the centres. Waddell gets a start in the back row. Bullamore onto the bench. And probably the bigger part to all this was the news today that Josh Schuster, whose new 3-year part of his deal hasn't even started yet until next year, has been told he could leave. So this season is the last year existing of before the deal they've given him. He's got $2.4 million tied up over the next 3 seasons. So that's a strange one.
All right, well, yeah, in the good news for Manly, last week I thought it was all effort. And as a Penrith fan sitting there watching, I thought they really out-muscled us despite some of those outs. I think Penrith, probably Manly didn't allow us to get into the game at times as well. So that effort going over to New Zealand is going to be massive in that space. I think this is the match of the round. If I'm looking at this, I think this is a great setup. Good way to start a Saturday afternoon. I do have the Warriors being too strong again. Just as you said, back at home, I think some of the performances, yeah, South's really, really underwhelming again last week. But the Warriors didn't take the foot off the gas. They really cut them to ribbons and laid it on them, and that's what you want to see in that space. But I think this is going to be a real gritty affair. I can see obviously, Burbo out in the centers there up against Berry and Sheck. I think Berry's been really, he's, I actually think he's a really talented kid. He's holding his own and I think been one of the shining lights for the Warriors. So they're going there. But in bad news for Manly, yeah, you've got $2.4 million tied up and, questions around some of the decisions and why did you re-sign if you had another year to go and who was really knocking on the door to take Josh Schuster at around that price? And you might be paying a fair bit of that to another club to take him because can't sack him. He hasn't asked for a release, and I don't think anyone's going to come for 800 to pay on potential. And that's the problem with paying on potential. Everyone says not to do it, not to do it, but some of the decision makers there have probably got that one, really, really wrong. On the positive, the reason that he's not in the first grade side is because the guys that they do have there are actually lifting and having a real crack. And, Waddell, I think, has been a good foil for Olakau'atu, who's doing things. The guys that are being picked every week is all effort, but, question for the boardroom, really. Why have you got another 3 years at 800,000? And I think all of us want to see Schuster at his best and back playing first grade and whatever else, but not at that price.
No. So I think the big things, someone asked me today at work about that to Lomax. I'm like, well, to be fair, Lomax's positional switch has worked out well. I think everyone still sees the ability, whether it be at centre or wing, and whether you question consistency or not, there's at least been effort. Whereas the Schuster thing's been a question of you saw probably enough to warn you off paying what they did pay originally. And then, he's obviously, I don't think, going to be in the same situation as a Lomax where he's going to walk in and say, I want to terminate neutrally because I know I've got to have something decent or at least acceptable to move on to. If you're Schuster in this situation, you don't have to do anything. And his
Yeah,
manager,
that's right.
I'm sure, similar deal with Manly would be like, well, we're not getting that anywhere else. So unless someone's going to chip in good wedge and this is going to stay, it's more on Manly's end now about what are they going to do about it.
Yeah, and that's the case that, go back to yesteryear with Greg Eastwood. It was on massive money at the Dogs and was at the end of his career. And they said, oh, you're free to negotiate. He said, no, I'll take the 700,000 and I'll go play cup. And that's fine. Josh Schuster's too young for that. But, he could sit there and waste away in cup and take $800,000 off Manly for the next 4 years if he so pleases. The argument says, from a financial point of view, he should do exactly that. But you just hope he's got the desire to want to play first grade and get around there. But it's going to be a real desperate club to pay the same price again. So I think Manly are going to kick some money to whomever takes him, whether that's here or overseas. You don't know what environment he's sort of set up. Maybe the Super League isn't a bad little shout if he's outpriced and bits and pieces. But yeah, it's a really strange one. But for Manly, what you are seeing on the field is fantastic. And coming back to this game on the weekend, I think this is a huge game, and a real test for the guys. I've been really impressed with Paseka, Olakau'atu every week. Rolls the sleeves up and has a big crack. And it's good to see obviously Capewell coming back in this week. Warriors also get DWZ back on the wing. I think the Warriors at home are going to be too strong, but I certainly can't have a crack at Manly's effort. They bounced back from that pretty poor performance against the Dragons. They did it against Penrith at home. They had a lot to play for, but you want to take last week's intensity and effort, into this week because it's going to be a fair task over in New Zealand.
Yep. And I think similar to you at home, off the back of a good win where they weren't stretched too much, a couple of good inclusions. Burbo, like he does a good job, but he plays out in the edge regardless. But I think matching up on the right where he'll be against Rogler is going to be a big ask. So I like that matchup for them. I know Cooler's been outstanding on the left, but watching him and Berry, two different sort of body types and two different ways they go about it, that'll be good fun to watch. And fingers crossed Johnson plays because Johnson's been great. That's a battle of two awesome sevens and two good forward packs like Finua Blake, Paseka, Barnett's a bit mad. You've got Nathan Brown, who's a bit mad. Ford and Capewell have been good. Hopewell, like you said, and Waddell's made a fistful of his late signing there. So I think all around it's pretty well matched.
I don't know what occurred at Parramatta with Nathan Brown, but he was, I thought he's earning his stripes every week. His intensity last week I thought was amazing, and that was up against, the Penrith pack. But I think it's going to be a real ding dong battle and with the big men up front. But as I said, yeah, I've got New Zealand winning this one. From a try scorer's point of view, I'm really liking RTS and Berry. I think just that edge there, and obviously you could throw Watini Zalesniak as well. If Manly are going to leak some points, it probably is on those edges, and particularly with Burbo coming in to be that stopgap at centre. Not my cup of tea for him yet, hanging out there at the moment. But I just think Warriors a lot of upside, and the real pleasing thing touching on the Warriors has been, they really just they gave it to South last week and made sure it was in there. And the little combinations through that middle, like that Egan ball where, faked out to Tohu and they cut straight through the middle. That was absolute class. And I think Egan's really starting to stand up, probably has done for the last 18 months. You touched on it in the season preview, thinking potentially at the start of the year could be a smoky for a for some representative honours. Obviously, a lot of guys to be ruled out before that, but I think the combinations that the Warriors are really starting to click into gear, and they've got coverage in every position, and that home game is really going to work in their favour, mate. So the Warriors at $1.47, Manly at $2.70. I'm liking the Warriors head to head here, and then potentially putting that into a couple of try scorers as well.
6.5 start for Manly if you think close, so covers that one try. Again, something you could probably drag to 10.5 and still get pretty good odds if you wanted maybe a two try coverage. I see this a 1-12 either way. So if you don't like Manly already, head to head with BlueBet at 270. It's one where if you think they go over there, which they've done plenty of times before, $4, 1-12, Warriors 290. Those try scorers we spoke about, Roger is 262 on Burbo. I think that's pretty decent. Berry, your other pick on the right, he's been really good. 340. Olaquadu is a threat every single bloody week. 375. You know he's going to get 15 plus touches, and they use him a lot on that lead, just trying to isolate and bash down the front door. So him going at Tamari Martin is a pretty nice matchup. He's not the biggest man in the world, Tamari, but the big watch here, I guess, coming closer. And if you're like me, sometimes when you hear about injuries, is if Johnson pulls out sort of last minute, I'd expect this to swing pretty heavily. But if there's any more inkling and the price didn't deviate, I'd probably jump on Manly if you could get the odds.
Yeah, that's exactly right, mate. If there is a cloud and whatever else, if you're a Manly fan and you're having a look around tomorrow, multiplying up with other games, get that price now, get him in certainly. But look, you probably think Webster, if Johnson's going to be good to go, I think look, even he's a chances than any time. But I do like RTS at $2.62. That into the Warriors head to head would probably help fatten up this game.
Yeah, I agree with you there. So that's probably the watch, but great head-to-head, and I'm with you. Given if you looked at some of these teams on paper before the season, the way this round was going to play out, this one would have been one that I looked at, but it definitely is the match of the round for this one, I'd say. But moving on, Para and Cowboys. Despite the wins, the Cowboys defending very poorly. Had a real soft draw so far, probably bar the Brisbane game. This is another one of their tougher matchups to Parramatta. Red hot start. Moses Cartwright really fallen into a hole the last 2 weeks. They get Cartwright back this week. They've flicked Talangi after two games in the halves. They've gone with Dejan Arce. He's brought Harper back into the centres. He got rid of Sivo. Not happy. Simonson's pushed out to the wing. So Arthur certainly disappointed after what happened on the weekend. Talangi also back to the bench. But for the Cowboys, only one change. And they've had a few injuries themselves early this season, but Zach Laibut, who was showing some good signs, getting first crack of that centre spot. ACL, a very, very cruel injury. So Tommy Chester, who I do like, is going to get a crack at centre, but Viliami Valea has been included for the first time, who was a real talent from the Warriors. I thought this might have been his spot first up, but not the case. But if Chester is not a late out, I guess this will be an opportunity this week for him to try and show he's going to hold that spot. But wouldn't surprise me if Vallejo was a late swap or if he's in the next few weeks.
Yeah, the other option too, with coverage there, subject to how I guess Chester goes, is whether Tulagi moves to the centres and they bring in Valame as well, who equally was, because it was keeping Caulfield out of a team at a certain stage last year. So, mate, this is a real weird one for me. I think Parramatta got it handed to him last Sunday evening. Don't get me wrong, but I'm a bit like you. I'm at the start of the year, I was off the cows, but they've chalked up a number of wins now and got themselves into a good position. But equally, a bit skeptical about
Yeah,
A,
who they
who they've
play.
played, and B, the lapses in concentration during the games. You saw it again on Sunday, leaking points in quick time against the Titans, made it much closer than it really should have been. They,
The intercept
didn't
couldn't
blink
like
for a
stem
second
that
there.
flow. They were in trouble.
Yeah, they're in trouble, and it was coming on, and obviously, ended up being 13 plus only just. But for me, it's going to come down to, I think if Parramatta's any chance of giving, Dylan Brown's got to stand up, no doubt about it. Barely touched the ball Sunday, didn't even really go looking for it in key stages. Credit to the Raiders in really not allowing them to do that. Obviously, decision here, it's Arcee comes in. Talagi goes out. That's understandable for a young kid too. He's had a couple of weeks up there. That could be a fatigue thing. Might just be throwing him to the lions just yet. But I think it's going to come to the forward pack, and the forward pack for the Parramatta still really stands up. RCG, Paulo, Lane, Cartwright comes back in this week. I think he's been really damaging when he has been fit. You just hope he's going good there, and Hopgood as well. But I think that's as good a forward pack as any other team in the comp. They just really need to lift here now and go and do that. And I said, I'm off Morgan Harper and always will be, and have a lot of long-suffering Parramatta mates who are far more worse than me about Morgan Harper. So I still struggle with the back line and the depth there. And obviously they've got a lot of outs, but I think it might be a bit closer than it maybe suggests at the moment. So I've just taken a look at the BlueBet. Before, Parramatta are $2.20 outsiders at CommBank. Cowboys are $1.67. Once again, 1-12 either team. If you're a neutral supporter, I think that's an option in my opinion. Maybe even Parramatta with a healthy start to pick your own line. I don't think they're going to accept the effort that they put up last week. Arthur's obviously swung the axe, but I think it's going to come from the forward pack to really lay a platform for some of these other outside backs and their halves, most importantly, to lift, and they're going to need to. And I think the Cowboys on the flip side, they've just got to concentrate for the full 80, and try to get a result, a full consistent 80-minute performance.
I'm sort of with you. The big thing that stands out to me this week, especially Cartwright being back, and it was fantastic the first few weeks, was forward pack. Looking at the Cowboys, I think McLean's actually been pretty solid so far this year, but the Taumalolo minutes and the fact they've been so open about his knee. Kulikefu's still very, very young, so they haven't been playing in full games. He's been playing sort of 60 minutes. Cotter's having to carry some load because they've obviously lost a couple. McIntyre, Gajewski, name, they come on and do a job, but they're definitely lighter on with the few injuries that they've had. They've lost a couple of middles, in particular, that have lightened up that rotation. But Parramatta, if they do that flip with Regan Junior, Offa, Maddow, and get back to what they were doing the first few weeks, which is just blowing teams up in the middle, finding offloads, probably, like, I know Brown's essentially got to play more like a seven, but still, I think for him, like, just think run first still. Don't overthink it. Like, obviously, kicking and directing the team, Moses has been shown to be a massive out. But against a team that has lapses, who is very inconsistent in patching games, who leaked, 18 points, almost 24 to the Dragons before flipping around and scoring 40, I don't think the Parramatta are the Dragons. I think for the Cowboys, if you're Parramatta and you're Brad Arthur, it's very simple. If we hold the ball for 25, 30 minutes, make this just ugly in the middle game, they generally have tendencies of coming in and out, making errors and giving opportunities. So my focus would be first 15, 20. We don't make an error. We just punch them straight in the mouth, right up the middle. We kick, we turn around, and we let them strangle themselves. So I actually think the 220 for Parramatta is pretty good value, and it's a CommBank. So that's probably where I'm at.
I'm sort of going with yourself, mate. From a tipping perspective, look, it'd be hard for me to tip Parramatta in that sense. So tipping comps, go as you please. But from a betting side, yeah, Parramatta is the more favourable for my side at $2.20. Then with a start, with a bit of coverage, is where I'd get it. Just struggling to find. I think Cartwright is a real good chance as an anytime try scorer. And I think on that edge, and look, it got really sketchy, that defense last week from the Titans, and sorry, against the Titans, and you saw Fomor go through and score. I think the same again with the edge back rowers for Parramatta are real chances. The Cartwright market actually isn't up with BlueBet, so I'm sure that'll be come kickoff, that'll be rectified. But if he's anywhere around that $4.50, $5, even high threes, that into Parramatta with a start is probably where I'd put my money here, putting faith in Parramatta to actually come back and put in a better performance, but particularly in front of CommBank. I think there'll be a fair roll up by Parramatta fans, and They're stinging for a certain, they need a win, and I think they'll be stinging for it this week.
Yeah, I think maybe the Cartwright one, even though his name might be around that ribs, that like it's a hard injury, but
Yeah.
if he's listed, looking at the prices that are there for the other back rows, like Nanai short at 275, Kulikefu 375, Lane 450, I think he'd probably be more around that Kulikefu mark. So if you're getting anything 3+ or 350 plus for Cartwright at the right, I'm with you. That left side of the Cowboys, particularly, they've been great in attack, but they've been very loose defensively. For that reason, also, if Cartwright is there, I don't mind Penasini at 320. He's very, very strong. The matchup that he's going to get with Val, him and Tommy, and that edge in general has just been a bit dishevelled for me. So, this is one I look at and think they're not as bad as what they've shown the last 2 weeks. I know Moses is super important, and it's sort of throwing them off, but I think they've just one of these teams again. Real high ceiling, real physical, real direct the first few weeks. The last 2 weeks, they've went away from that. So I think it's as simple as looking at who you're playing. They will give you plenty of opportunities if you complete roll up your sleeves and do what Parramatta do best, which you just look at that middle rotation.
Going against like the majority of this discussion, if the Cowboys are going to win, it's got to come from game management, and it's Deard and Townsend really leading the way. And the X factor in that conversation is Drinkwater at the back, always active, always involved, plenty of touches. I think if the Cowboys do give an 80-minute performance and their forwards do match that with Parramatta, which they are more.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And capable of doing, I think it's going to come down to probably the influence of Dearden in particular, getting him into a real running game, potentially cutting through up against Arcee and Brown, and the involvement of Scott Drinkwater, and sort of seen a few errors sneak into his game, a couple of drop balls and a couple of things. I said, if even he goes an 80-minute performance, it's one of the best fullbacks in the comp on his day. I think that's where the points will not only come from for the Cowboys, but that's their sort of road to victory is game management and that X factor at the back. You can throw Val Holmes into that equation too, being really solid at center there, scoring a truckload of points. I actually don't mind the total points scored per player. So anywhere last week, I took something with Val Holmes to score 10 plus points, which he did. If the Cowboys get to a victory, I think it can come from that side. But where my money's going to go at the start, mate, at the top of the convo, Parramatta with a bit of a start, and keep an eye on whether Cartwright's going to play if I'm going to go for an anytime try scorer.
Yep, I like what you've got there as well. But head to head, Parramatta with BlueBet, $2.20. If you like that straight up at CommBank, you'd hope, like I said, after 2 poor weeks, a bit of a bounce back. And Cowboys, just a bit of question mark about who they've played. They're $1.67 favourite at the moment on the road. 2.5 the start. Again, if you could stretch that to 4.5, 6.5, you might find enough there to give yourself a multi with a couple of margins. And if that Cartwright price, I'm similar to you. If he's healthy, playing on the right, him and Penasini at that left, if they're 3+ a piece, that's sort of where my head's at too. And Drinkwater 225, a threat every week. They just let him roam, pick his moments and pop up. So interesting one there. But Souths, God, you could spend an hour, but I'm going to sum it all up in a bit more of a compressed box. It was a bad weekend again last week. Latrell gets suspended. Torque's got 1 week to save his job. Torque, that doesn't matter about the 1 week to save his job. And then today, obviously, all the talk is that they've looked at getting Madge Maguire back in for an interim. Now they've said tonight Mal Meninga is who they're after. They've unanimously agreed, and that maybe Demetrio's job's already gone. It doesn't matter what happens this weekend. So South Sydney is absolutely burning to the ground 6 weeks in so far, and you just hear a new story every 5 minutes. So we talk about games that you would have looked at the start of the year. This is one I would have expected to look at and think, oh, two finals teams, this would be a great matchup. Now I'm sitting here wondering if, again, half of what you hear is true or not, but there's so much smoke that you've got to think there's a fire. But if I'm Jason Demetria, and this is all legit, and they're going to pump you regardless, I'd be fronting them tomorrow, just going, well, tell me the truth. Because if this is what's going to happen, I just won't coach this weekend. And I know some people go, that's not what you should do. But honestly, I know a lot is going to him, but it's not all on him. Some of this stuff has happened with the board, solely everyone above him in this transition of Wayne Bennett, new coach, who they decided to sign. It's not all on Jason Demetria. But on the flip side of this, everyone thinking Burgess come back and fix it immediately. Burgess, the guys he called out have all got 3 or 4 year contracts. So if you go that direction, it's a long, slow burn and a transition of getting people out. Wayne Bennett, which would be great, I'm sure could probably band-aid things up and get people back on board for a year or two. But are they in a premiership window? Do they have cap flexibility? Can they really do more than probably play finals under Wayne? And then you're still going to have to transition. Like, this has really gone to shit in less than 6 to 9 months to a point where I'm just rubbing my head going, well, what the fuck's happened?
Look, it's a fucking dumpster fire. In all honesty, 6 weeks in, we, I thought things would go off track a little bit for the bunnies. I didn't expect this come middle of April. But yeah, like there's a lot of conjecture. I think you touched on is just the amount of stories coming out. It's indicative of a club in turmoil, and that's from the top down. It doesn't matter where it's at. That the good clubs keep that shit back of house. This is every single day. There's something being said. Someone's standing in front of the media. Someone's having another good on them for going there. But there's what you could either bunker down and actually get a bit of resilience in that side of things and not have things in the media every day. But I think he's a shot duck, Demetrio, and equally, I agree. I think some of the key players, the ones that Burgess did call out last year, are a huge part of the problem. And whilst I'm all for swinging the axe, I also got a question: how is dropping Damien Cook this week the answer, given that, like, so we're outside looking in, Cook isn't the one calling the shots and everything else. He's not the guy not making the meters. He's not the guy elbowing blokes in the face. Yes, he is somewhat playing under his best performance. I actually think his best days are probably past him. And I think there's better options at nine from a state of origin and Australian side of things anyhow. So if you've got a guy who's likely going to be there in the whole year, I also question why you've singled him out this week to send a message. Why wouldn't you sit there and go, well, we've just lost Latrell. Yeah, this is fine. I know they've got real big raps on Mamazoulas, and I'm keen to see him play, don't get me wrong, but I think dropping your nine isn't the answer when your forwards are undersized. There's a real lack of mobility in there. Your outside backs, you're picking Tane Milne every week. Like, how's that Damien Cook's fault? Like, I'm not a fan of Tane Milne, obviously, but I'm sitting there going, there's dumb shit that happens across the board. Yes, Cook's got a role to play, but was this really the week to drop him? I don't think so. And I understand you had to do something, but maybe that's going into the change rooms, flogging them, having an honesty session, and bunkering down and trying to do that. The fact that he hasn't done it probably tells me things are worse than they appear, and they already appear pretty ordinary. And when you're starting to talk that you've got the Australian coach potentially coming in or the New South Wales coach coming in, Mal Meninga seems the logical one. Obviously, Maguire's not going to, after just getting the New South Wales job there, Burgess coming back. He said, I don't see that happening, particularly how he called out a few of the guys. I think it's probably a bit too soon in his coaching career too. I'd also question Wayne Bennett coming back. JD was his man and his offsider. You basically know what you make, get resold out, and then you come back in as well. I suppose money talks, but yeah, it's a horror start of the season. And I'm looking at the team list now going, I don't see how that is going to beat the Sharks. And it's going to have to take a truckload of pep talks and a bit of an honesty this week for South players to come out. And as a South fan, you'd want to see that. But, I think it's gone. And I think another loss here probably puts the final nail in that coffin. If it's not already done by the weekend and said, we're Wednesday night, this is Saturday evening. What's to say something doesn't pop off in the next 24, 48 hours the way things are going?
That's the thing that probably worries me more because when if this is all true and he is a dead man walking, it's also a free out for the players already for this week, which is never a good sign. Rather than the old, you've got one last chance to save yourself, or I'm going to make changes this week. If it's all a fait accompli with the amount of noise that's been out, which it's hard to think that there could be this much without something being true, it makes me really worried for this weekend, which is why, for his sake, If all this is legit, I'd be fronting them tomorrow. Just going, seriously. I've been told this, and media said that he spoke to them a couple of days ago and that they've told him that he's all good and he's supported. But like this much noise can't be coming out and people saying, yep, this is legit. He's talked to him. This is already on the move. Like, surely if you're him, you've just got to front him and go, look, I want to know what's going on. Like, just hit me between the eyes with it. If it's the case, he might be gone before the weekend. So, sadly enough, with that though, young Jai Gray, young six, who's turned into a fullback, he's been great in the cup, but it's a rough week to be coming in. Munro's back from injury on the wing. Milne on the other wing. Hawkins is obviously going to have a long term, if not the whole year now, at halfback because Ilias, who still, in my opinion, is a better option, snapped his leg on the weekend in an awful,
Yeah,
awful,
horror.
like last play of the game, too, like last 20 seconds. Couldn't be a worse time for it to happen. Lusick has gone in for like a block on the kick, and it's the old just ricochet straight off, and you could see it instantly. It was bloody awful. But that pretty much summed up South season right there in that moment,
Yeah.
and chaos and just everything going wrong. But yeah, to Tolo, Burgess, Mamazoulos, they've changed the bench again. Havili, Mitchell, Mowale are all in. So that's another thing. There's been constant rotation of
Was about to say that,
who's in the middle.
and that is the thing where we talked about the depth at the start of the year probably not being there. I said I think they're undersized. I think they lack some mobility. Yeah, they've had some stuff go against them. Arrow being ruled out, horrible. They've
Campbell
had
Graham.
some injuries. The suspensions come in. Some stuff has gone against them. But the rotation of Kepi's in and out. Talis Duncan, real promising kid. I think he's a better option at back row than Jacob Host is. I think Jacob Host could probably go to the bench and go as the forward as a middle rotation if you're so short and it is undersized. Like there's just and that is on Dimitri. Like if you're picking the team and whatever else, but I think the players first and foremost, some big name players on some big cash there that really haven't lifted and they've made it worse for themselves. And the one shining light from an effort side of things is Jack Whiten. He's 30 years old, spent 10 years at another club's coming in, rolling his sleeves up, having a real dig. But it's I'm looking at this, to shift focus over to the Sharks. They're coming off the bye and I'm looking at what they've brought in this week. I like the fact that they've kept Cale Iro at centre and moved Talakai to the bench. A lot of that was probably talk to start the year, whether Iro would come in after his couple of years in the New South Wales Cup, real success there. I like what I see, particularly in the back line. I think from 1 to 7, that's as red hot as you're going to get as a Sharks fan. And I think there's a lot of points there. And I think there's a lot of points this weekend for Mulitalo and Katoa. The standard, bookends at the side for the Sharks. I think there's a couple of tries there for them this weekend. But what surprised me with the Sharks the other week was they obviously lost a few middles, but I thought they dug in. And Hazelton's getting some more minutes there. But I think a lot of the focus is going to be on the Souths this week and what's going to happen. But if I'm a Sharks man, coming off the bye, this is as good a week to get a team in turmoil. And I think if you're Sharks, as a Sharks fan, what you'd want to see is your team comes out and actually rips in and potentially puts them to the sword like the Warriors did last week and make sure that you're letting people know that you are a top eight side pushing for that top four, because that's still the question mark for me with the Sharks is when they line up against the top four teams from yesteryear, I felt like they've lacked some depth to that performance. This is a week coming off the bye. This is a 4-point swing if they can get it done right. So, Sharks for me winning, potentially by how many, is the question at hand, and that's where I'd be thinking that any good money should go.
Nicker are back this week as well. Huge inclusion. Another reason Talakai has probably been pushed to the bench to help is, cover for outside back. Middle just to be a power pack for 20-something minutes with Tuku Tupahua, but also 20 and 22 Hamlin Ewele Rudolph after the bye. So two potential late inclusions there. Could see Tuku and Burns move out and Talakai there with Williams as middle edge outside back coverage. I'm with you on Iro. I like Iro. Good player, very powerful. Good run the other week. Their back five, they provide yardage. That's another worry I have for South. Like, Gray, don't get me wrong, dangerous, very good runner, but off the back foot, if they're not winning yardage, if they're not getting forward, he's undersized, he's underweight, very dangerous, but it's a hard week. to be coming in debut. And sometimes you go, beware the wounded team, beware of the noise. But with so much noise and nothing being settled and a potential coach walkout or ending before the weekend, I just don't, I have nothing in me that makes me think that this is going to be a good week for South. So I think this might be the rock bottom before we see, you know, the potential slow rebuild or direction this needs to head. But congratulations to Jai Gray, because looking at him, man, he looks like a hell of a player. But debut, it's a tough week. Yeah, real tough. And Mamasville also got a big rap on too, but similar deal. It's a tough week to be coming in and with Cook completely out of the side. And Havili might take 20 or 30 minutes off him, but yeah, it's a tough week for a few of these guys, given what's going on, to be coming into these key roles.
The thing for me is the guy standing out in neon and bold here is Cody Walker. You have no one to blame this week. Latrell's out. Cook's been dropped. Your halfback is a reserve grade guy who's probably had maybe half a dozen games now in the NRL, maybe 10 or so. He's your long-term option. You have no choice but to stand up. I get that message. And if that's behind the back, the dropping of Cook, yeah, I just thought there's probably better ways to do it. But yeah, Walker has no excuses this week, and if the effort's going to come, it's going to have to come on the back of him. But I personally don't see it happening. I see it being a bit of a point fest for the Sharks, and I think it's a good opportunity for Nicho Hynes to potentially lick his lips and really, tuck in on this one, because I think he's been a little bit underwhelming to start the. I know he's still leading the Daily M points somehow. That's more an issue with the Daily M scoring system, but here's the week to for Nicho also to stand up. And I just think getting some early ball to their outside backs, let the forwards come in and do the job. But then guys like Mulatalo and Katoa, I can see him potentially scoring multiples this week. And mind you, their last performance, as I said, what's happened in the fortnight since they lost to the Tigers was, they were dog shit that night. Don't get me wrong, but this is the chance to rebound here. And I think that's what you're going to see. And come off the bye, that 4-point swing works in the Sharks' favour.
And we saw obviously they were hot and cold against Canberra. Poor start, bounce back. How much that was Canberra also being pretty poor. Like Ricky obviously
Correct.
completely blew them to pieces for their performance, but they've got a wounded target here that they could really, really go to town on. And, like you said, get another 2 points, 6 point swing either side of the bye and put themselves in a really good spot. But interested to see. Lots of questions around South, I guess, within the next 24 hours or even waking up tomorrow. I've got no idea what we're going to hear, but there was way too much that came out today in particular from morning to afternoon where I don't know what's going to be doing come Saturday. Ben Hornby could be the interim for the week with Demetri already gone and they're trying to still settle things. But the odds with Bluebet, no surprise, South's massive outsiders, 320. If you've got any faith or you think something could be sorted here, have at it, but I'm not touching it. Sharks $1.35. I probably still would have liked, maybe hopefully it was $1.40, $1.50, but given everything that's going on, I think it's only going to get further away. 9.5 start you've got there. I don't think I'd go there, but the try scorers are where we're probably at. And in terms of that back line, they are red hot, like we said. You want to look at head-to-head matchups. I think their left-hand side is where they like to play, really. Trindle, I think, has been getting better the last couple of weeks. So, probably more around those guys and heading down that left side and playing there. So, if I was going to look, Iro again would be pretty good at 287. Don't mind that at all. Trindle, 375 is pretty good odds. And in terms of the return on the right-hand side of Nikola, he runs that real nice inside-outside line. For Hines, he's one for me that is always really, really good value the way he plays his football. So I don't mind him either. But for South, one guy like you that I will give it up to is Kalon Mutungi. They flipped him to the left, they put him back to the right. There's been games where he's just come into the middle looking for the ball out of frustration. He's tried to make stuff happen. But I think him and Jack are probably two of the only ones I've really looked at and thought, well, you're having a red hot crack. But yeah, I'd love to see Gray get loose on debut. He's been really dangerous in cup, but I think it's going to be hard if they perform the way I think they're going to perform.
The other one for me, mate, I like Mulatalo to score two tries. So that's $3.75 as well. So putting a bit of faith in the multiples that they will, the Sharks will put some scores on here. I think that's where a lot of the Sharks points come to, and those the plays out to both wingers really do work for them. So yeah, I can see some multiples there at $3.75. A small part of me hopes that South, and particularly some of their fans at the moment, like you do see some improved effort. But even a win, is a win going to save Demetria this week? We've got 72 hours till kickoff, give or take, and those stories may not be over before kickoff.
Honestly, I know a lot of people will blame it purely on him, but I think knowing a little bit about it and then looking at it right now, if I'm him, not saying you feel disappointed or hard done by, but I think that there's a lot more people responsible for this than just Jason Demetria. And there's no quick way out of this for South with what's going on right now. But probably what kills me more than anything, seeing poor guy like Cam Murray, who obviously does his talking with his football more than anything, being the one out in front the whole time. Like, we haven't heard from Blake Solly or anyone high up about anything that's going on within the four walls. So I'm not surprised some of the players are disappointed about having to talk about their coach or other players' actions, and people like him in particular that are there to play football who are answering questions about the travel or his coach or whatnot. Like, you can really see it taking a toll.
And that's the issue that I have probably a bit with Colin Matangi and Murray's. I think too much is placed on them because of some of the shortcomings within their forward depth. And particularly with Cameron Murray, he's almost, a liability onto himself from a health side because he does commit to everything. And as a South fan, you'd love to see that nothing more, but you're starting to see him kind of burn out. And, a lot of pundits out there, a lot of other people in the media saying the same thing. And I just think he needs some support. He needs some support from the other forwards. He needs some support from the other big name players to do that. Because, it's looking to have a personal toll. But, for this week, mate, I think it's the Sharks to lose. Stranger things have happened, but yeah, it's the Sharks for me.
Yep, we're both there with bluebet.com.au. They're favoured there. Sunday to wrap us up. Tigers, Dragons. I'd like to say flip a coin, but Tigers have certainly showed a bit more consistency in their football since week one. Again, last week, I never thought they were a threat to win, but they were certainly in the game. They were still tough. They probably just struggled a little bit with the attacking side of things, whereas the Dragons, it's been an absolute roller coaster. Their week to week, no idea. They looked pretty good early on last week. They had a few chances to take the lead and they ended up getting blown out by 30. Manly, they were resilient as all hell against the Dolphins. They got 40 put on them. Like, there's no form line here other than, I guess, probably what you'd expect with a rebuild. You've got Flanagan, who's come in, almost half his roster's off contract. He's trying guys in different spots. He's rotating forwards. He's figuring out who's who in the zoo. He's blooded a couple of guys as well. And obviously, he plays that hard line. So there's going to be inconsistency week to week about the way he wants to play. But the Tigers, a few outs. Bateman's out with concussion. Both the Whānaus are out. So Seyfarth moves to an edge. Matamua, Asukapoa, and Simkin onto the bench. But bar the Canberra game, they've been tough. They've been resilient. They've played to their middle and RP, which is the way they should play. And, we saw some flashes of Galvin with Caesar working pretty well. Sullivan last week, I wouldn't say he was bad. He wasn't good. So you can definitely see, the upside you've got with Galvin there as an 18-year-old. But this one I find hard. If Galvin was in with what we saw with him and Buller and the way that we're sort of trending with their resilience, I'd probably go them on a consistency basis. But I find this one a real hard one to tip. And it's at Campbelltown, which, they always say they want more football out there. With what your team's shown so far, that should be a full house. You should be getting out there, getting behind your team, and getting excited.
It's a convenient argument every year when they say, "Oh, we want more footy down here," and you get 7,000, 8,000 down there, and you see more seats and green grass on the hill than you do people. So,
And they
for
always
any
say it's
Tigers
because of the
fans,
matches they give us, but still, if you've got football there, prove them wrong regardless. Just rock in, really prove a point and drive it home that you want football to be there 5 times a year rather than 2 times.
and look. Maybe that changes this week. I mean, probably in the 6 weeks here, I think one of the big things that sort of happened is the talk about the Tigers and some of the green shoots that are coming off Benji's approach and philosophy. Obviously, a bit of slander in the media about how often he turns up, and it was sort of named that it might have been a disgruntled ex-employee, and that sort of fed the argument. So, I think their performances, agree with yourself last week, thought they were in the game and probably just liked a bit of that polish. They've got another week until Galvin comes back. I think he's the bright spark in that side to go through. From a betting side, I'm not touching it. It's from anything. This might be just kick the feet up on Sunday, hopefully with a couple of full pockets from the earlier games, and just watch this one because you're spot on about the form line with the Dragons, hot and cold in every sense. The start with the Knights last week, I thought they were really up for it, and I'm still continuing to like to see Lomax on the edge. It's really a strange position to be in. I think he's playing some of the best football of his career, and he's unhappy. He wants to take unders and move anything else. Like, he may be a winger. We sort of had this chat in the last few weeks again, but what they did against Manly, and Manly did a lot to that themselves, is if you get that Dragons, yeah, they probably beat the Tigers, but is that going to pop up once every 2 weeks? Is it coming once every 8 weeks? And it's the same again with the Tigers. I don't think the Tigers are full strength. Obviously, a few outs, Bateman missing this week, and still waiting for Galvin to come back in. But, gun to my head, if I was forced to make a call, I'd be going with the Tigers here. And I think the big key player is Coruscant. And you're starting to drip feed in that media now about his influence both on the field and off the field. I think they've had the 2 years, or the year there, where he's obviously been probably adjusting to the change of scenery and change of culture, and probably bringing that winning attitude. And maybe there's a bit more buy-in with Coruscant and Marshall there now than maybe was there when Sheens was. But yeah, Tigers, if I was forced to pick a head-to-head, Tigers are probably where my tips would go. But from a betting perspective, I wouldn't touch it. And what you're wanting to see on both sides of the coin here is just effort. The Dragons, you want to see an 80-minute performance and improved, and get rid of the silly mistakes, and really try to put in an 80-minute performance. Same thing with the Tigers. I probably want to see a bit more out of Sullivan. Sullivan probably wants a bit more about himself, particularly that it's Galvin's jersey now, and he's only played 4 of the 5 games this year, or 3 really. It's already his to lose. So a few guys lifting here, but yeah, for me, Coruscant's key, and the Tigers from a tip, but from a punt, I'm not touching it.
Like the head-to-head, I wouldn't take. But again, if put a gun to my head, I'd go Tigers. I do think the Dragons, though, especially with the way the injuries are on the bench, there is talent there. It's just again on a week to week. Like I like Sua. Late Lewis had a few good moments, but he can have some bad moments. Like Sloane, Lomax. I think Sully's been pretty good. Hunt's looked like he's back on board with what's going on. And even bench-wise, like this week, they've brought in Simkin, Twal. Like Matamua sort of goes between lock. Back row, and Capella's a centre back row, so it's a bit of an odd bench to figure out how he's going to do that. Whereas on the flip, like Fatala Marinella, DeBellin, Laurie, I think they might overall have a slight advantage, to be honest, with their rotation. But I just don't know which Dragons I'm going to get. The best version, especially with Harmaid as well this week, could be good enough to win. But I think the Tigers, at least bar the Canberra game, have proved they're at least more consistent defensively. And through their middle. And I called out Stefano after that one game after his last few years. He's been excellent since. And it's good to
Yeah, he
see
has.
because he had all the pedigree and all the reps of a Haas. I'm not saying to the same extent, but big body, good motor, good minutes, good impact. Like, I wouldn't say he's to that level, but he's certainly one of the only rarer guys in that sort of build that could play those minutes and have that sort of impact. His football since first game, incredible.
We talked about it earlier with Schuster and about the potential. Like, Stefano is the same promise. I said I think he was picked for New South Wales on potential as opposed to performance, but I think he started to lift, in recent weeks, and actually really taking that leadership. And Clemmer's coming towards the end of his time, and best days are probably past him as well. But so it's time for Stefano's to stand up, and he's starting to do that. And that's where you might start to see a bit of this change in culture, change in philosophy, starting to get some buy-in at the Tigers. From the Dragons, there's every chance they come out and blow the Tigers off the park. Like, that's the sort of real hot and cold aspect. And to consider that argument, I think the points are going to be with Lomax. I think Sloane as well. I think he's a big chance of, if he has a mistake-free game and remains solid from a defensive side of things, his attack, there's nothing really wrong with his attack. It's just that full kickoff to final siren performance that you're wanting to see from all the Dragons, but particularly you guys like Sloanes. But if the Dragons were to win, I think there's some real points for potentially Lomax. I actually like Lomax as an anytime try scorer anyway. I equally like Arpy as an anytime try scorer if I was to have anything on this. But yeah, your point around the Dragons interchange is spot on. I think it is. It probably has more depth there, but probably a bit more upside even from a consistency. And you're starting to see that effort with the Tigers, whereas the Dragons, it's yeah, it's a who knows.
Yep, head to head with bluebet.com.au. Tigers $1.77. The Dragons 205. 1.5 start in favor of the Dragons out there at Campbelltown. Lomax 220. Like you said, he's been good value every week so far. I know Sloane got dropped to the wing last week, and Flanagan was blunt more about the defensive side of things. But in a game like this, where I think it could be evenly matched, anything with him over $2 is always good. He's 237. Buller equally on the left with Ollum. I think they're your two best points for the Tigers, that left combination swinging, especially when Galvin was in. But even last week, Ollum's on a bit of a hot streak. He's 287. Buller 250. They're also going at Bird, who's under a cloud. There might be a late change there with Tui Polotu coming in. But if he's on the right, he's struggled sort of one-on-one and laterally. But other than that, I sort of like the Dragons right. I like Sewer and I like Hunt at 375 and 450. If they're playing that side, coming down that left, especially with Seyfarth, who I think does a good job in the middle, but probably not as mobile on an edge. If they can sort of jam down that edge with Sullivan there, who's not the best defender, Sewer is an extremely aggressive runner. And we know Ben Hunt is also a pretty good try sneak. So the head-to-head I'm not keen on, but if I was going to pick a spot, perspective wise, that half back row combo at that spot for me is probably where I find my best value. And what do we got? Last one to finish up, the Raiders. Like you said, big win last week, the 6:15 time slot again. Sunday night in Canberra, things are starting to get a bit fresh and the Titans roll into town. Some positives out of their second half, but it's another game, 30 plus points. Liu is supposedly back, but Foran's under a cloud. There haven't been many positives, if any, to take out of this. Fifita's slowly building back into form after an injury, as is for more. But yeah, I struggle to take much even out of the slight comeback because I still don't know what to make of the Cowboys. But Canberra, Rapana, 6 to 8 weeks potentially with knee injury. He's been great. So Chevy Stewart, who they've had big raps on, he's still only 19 years old, debuts at fullback. Good chance here to play for 6 or 8 weeks for him. Strange had a real breakout game last week. Hosking's back in the back row, which has pushed out of the side Simi Sasangi, and obviously Trey Mooney in for Corey Horsburgh, who's got a groin issue. He's looking potentially again for a month to 8 weeks. They weren't quite sure if it was groin or adductor. But the forward depth of the Raiders is one real strength. Mooney and a lot of these guys, Sasangi, they've been excellent in cup. So if there's one area they're probably not lacking, it's forward coverage. But the Titans, like, they're struggling points, they're struggling defensively. If Foran's not there and it's Boyd and Weaver, I'm already not that keen on them heading down there with the way Canberra play. But yeah, certainly after what Canberra did last week, it being at Canberra and all the things they do as opposed to the Titans, I see a similar story here where they just bash him through the middle, complete high, kick well, and just strangle the Titans to the point where they give up a swag of points, particularly at the back end.
Yeah, and I think it's look for me, it's the Raiders easily. You're really underwhelmed with what the Titans have put forward. Yes, played for 20 minutes last week and lifted that. I'm just looking at the side here, and I think with some of those injury clouds, well, the team that's been named and what we see at kickoff is going to change substantially. Like, I don't think Foran, from all reports, would go around, or if he is going to go around, I don't know how healthy he is either. Cam Pereira is still also named in the reserves, whether he's coming back through. I think there'll be a bit of a shuffle there. I'm still really off the Brimson at center position, particularly now. Like, spoke about it a few weeks ago when they played against the Dogs, and it was okay, whoever comes out of this, maybe this is the circuit breaker. You're 4 rounds in, you need to make a call. I think Hasler's probably even stretched that longer than he should have. I think Grimson needs to get his hands on the ball. Now, whether he's at fullback or six, I think if there's an injury to four, and you saw him sort of transition to there last week, but I just don't think he's a center. I could understand somewhat the rationale at the start of the year, but that was if you were fully fit and you were kicking goals. You're sitting bottom of the table at the moment. You need to lift, and I just don't think that's going to be there. Whereas on the flip side, we heard Box was in the media at the start of the year, so this isn't anything that he hadn't said, but he mentioned guys like Chevy Stewart and Ethan Strange, and sort of said they're the guys coming through. They're going to get exposed to first grade. I think he was quoted saying it's going to be a bit unrealistic to expect them to be there for the full year. I think 6 weeks in, Ethan Strange is standing up. Like, there's no quitting in him at the moment. I think
It was a
the
breakout
old
game
head of,
last week.
yeah, breakout game last week. But I think the mix between him and Fogarty is really paying dividends, in the sense that he can just be a running six. He looks tough as shit for a 19-year-old. Like, and that was the rap on him. But to him to bust out, that's going to do a world of good for his confidence. Obviously, Box's team's kicking goals down there in Cup. And the guys in there were some of the Trey Mooneys and Chevy Stewarts coming back through. So what you're seeing at the Raiders is a really strong depth in their program, in their system. There's obviously a lot of buy-in there as well. And the young guys coming in, that sort of next man up mentality. I see this as being also a great way for a guy like Chevy Stewart to debut. Come in against the Titans at home on the back of last week's absolute pile-on, and knowing full well that you're still playing world-class players in David Fifita and everything else. But I think the mix of the Titans, I think they're cannon fodder this week. And if the Raiders want to see the next guy to replace Rapana or the next fullback option, as a fan, you're about to see it on Sunday night. You're seeing potentially a decade-long 5'8" in Ethan Strange. If they hang on to him, I think there's a lot of things here. And you touched on it, is the forward depth. They lose Horsburgh. You've got guys in Cup who are just really packing a punch, and they come through. You've still got Hosking. You've still got Whitehead out. You've got others out. They've got depth. Emre Guler is even on the reserves, has started and has played a truckload of NRL games. This is the depth in that system that they've got going on at the moment, and I think that's the positive that'll come through. And for me, I think it's the Raiders. Question is by how many, and I think it might be a few. It could be a 13-plus touch-up if the Raiders do what they did last week.
And I've said it a few times now, and for Dez, I don't know why you wouldn't do it at this point, but he's got no Weaver in the 22, so if Foran's out, Brimson's going to have to go to half. I don't see any other option, but I would have already had Brimson there if this week that is the case. Like, Campbell's at one, that's how it should have been. Like, his outside backs, his forward pack, I think Verrills needs more minutes. They need more attack on the field. If there's one thing, and I don't know where the journos have pulled this from, magically the other week they started saying, oh, they need to score points. I'm like, well, they always could score points, and they scored them in bundles. They could never defend. Hazard was brought there to bring resilience and toughness. Now they're not doing either. They can't score and they can't defend. It's not all on him, but they're broken completely at this point. So I just think for him, caution to the wind, get Brimson closer to the ball. Tony Francis is a big, strong yardage winger. I'm sure he'll play Smith Shields against his old club, but rejig your back line. I think Brian Kelly's been poor defensively. That's where one of my betting picks is going. He's on the left-hand side. The right-hand side of Tomoko has been an absolute weapon. That's a nightmare matchup for him if they're off the back foot. Schiller, another beneficiary on the outside of him. Their forward pack's been doing a good job. So I think both edges, they're under real duress. And like I like Ethan. The more confident he's getting, he set up a few last week. Anything inside 20. I seen him up close and personal last week. He's bigger than me. He's bigger than what I thought he was for a 9-year-old kid. So he keeps getting more confidence and running the way he is. He's a big threat. But that right side particularly, I think the Kelly spot for Tomoko, Hosking's over that edge as well. Schiller, that right side. I think those three guys are where I'd be looking for the Raiders. But the head-to-head is pretty good too, to be honest. Like $1.34, you're looking at the odds that have been against the Titans so far. I'm not going to say it's disrespectful to Canberra, but like, given the way the Titans have played, I think maybe, they should be a bit further out in the odds.
And I'm just taking a peek here. The line is 8.5. So I think Canberra can cover that at $1.90. But even if you're wanting to batten that for $1.50 into an anytime try score and have a same game multi aspect, like you may only need them to cover 3.5. So I think they win by a try. I think they win by a few. But if you're wanting to be a fraction conservative or pick your own line, covering a 3.5 is a real option here. I'm 100% with you, mate. I love what I've seen from Tomoko in the last couple of years. Sunday night was the same thing. I think that right edge, I would have an anytime try score of both Tomoko and Schiller. And then made a note here too, saying, I think if it is a pile on, which as a Raiders fan, you would hope you're going to see a replication of last Sunday evening, potentially bringing in your Hoskins and even Hudson Youngs as well, coming through just when they soften them up late. I think the Titans' defense has been really, really flimsy. As you said, they can score points, but you can't be letting in 30 plus every week. And if there's going to be five tries for a 30-point scoreboard from the Raiders, I think a lot of those things are going to come on the right, and potentially a couple of big boys crossing late, or even early out on those edge where they're a bit flimsy from the Gold Coast.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty much with you. I don't have a whole lot of positive for the Gold Coast right here, and I think this is not a place you want to be going. I think Ricky certainly got his point across too the week before about how much belief and faith he has in this team and how disappointed he was, and they responded in kind. So again, at home, excitement around a debutant, excitement around his group in general, and he said as much that he really likes this team. I think if they buy into it as much as he's buying into it, and I think they will. This is one of the ones you look at again and go, if we want to be in the eight, we win this game and we win it well or we win it comfortably at home. So bet.com.au, the Raiders, $1.34, Titans 3.25, 8.5 the start there. I'm not really big on taking 13 pluses, but $2.34, I think it could be. But the try scorers is more where I'm at. Schiller's $1.90, Timoko 2.25, I like Hosking. Not in there at the moment again, maybe because he's off the HIA. But looking at the odds for Hudson being at 275, he's only scored for the first time last week. I'd assume Hosking would be a similar mark. If he was threes or over, I'm on that every day of the week. Levi's been a real good try sneak. He was still fives last week. He's now 375. I've been waiting for a Papali or Tarpany sort of crashing, but I've got a sneaky one this week. I don't know what kind of minutes he's going to get, but in Cup, he's just been next level. But if Mooney gets at least 30 minutes and they get with inside, he's finally starting to realise how big and powerful he is. He had huge reps through all the junior grades. He's played all the rep levels. He's dominating Cup recently, but at $8, he's not a bad shout for a fiver or a tenner if you just want a point of interest when he gets his stint. But I'm big on that right side. Hosking, Tomoko, Schiller.
Yeah, I agree, mate. And look, you touched on Danny Levi. I think he's been, he's almost a veteran now, and he's been to a lot of clubs and a lot of exposure. But I think the 1-2 punch with him and Starling, I know they were doing the same thing with Wolford in all that recent years. But I thought, Levi getting the jump on the other two more established nines from being down there at the start of the year was going to be an interesting look. I think it's paying dividends. At the moment, I think he's been really active, really hunting. As you said, he's already found the try line a few times, but just really nimble out of nine there. And I think bringing in those, as you said, the big boys, but even on the edge, I think he's played his part in unlocking that as much as the playmakers have as well. So on the other side, where I can see some points for the Titans, look, Old Faithful, Dave Fifita, and even Beau Fermor, across last week, I'm going to think the Titans are going to get across. Law of averages says they'll score one, maybe even two. But I'd be probably going back to the old staple, back-to-back rowers, and see what comes out of it. But we're looking at this and what the team, how it's named at the moment. So team lists have come out. I said a lot of this is, I think, is going to change. I think it will change the dynamic if Brimson gets named at six, and that's what they do. Do I think they win? No. I just think it potentially changes the game plan a fraction. We covered this a few times now, but I just think getting your hands on the ball more for Brimson, and also what they're not doing is they're not giving him decent ball or getting the ball to him at centres. He's not a centre in the first place, in my humble, but it's equally okay. If you're going to play him at centre, we still want to get him the ball. I go back to when Matt Burton was at Penrith. Yeah, you're just swinging the ball early, and you know if he's going to add a little kick in or do something there, that's fine. But the Titans haven't even got themselves in a position to do that, and so I think he needs to go to six. It has to be a matter of, you know, when, not if. So, but yeah, but Canberra, last game of the round, obviously finding a nice little sweet spot of that 6:15 kickoff. It's good to see a big crowd down there. I think they're going to be too strong, and it could be a pylon.
Yeah, I think so. And again, those odds, bluebet.com.au, $1.34, 8.5 start if you think they can cover and liken that right edge. But that wraps up the round. What I will do, though, and a couple have said it, we've been obviously doing picks and bets and that, but not necessarily giving tips. So someone said, could we give our actual head-to-head tips? So I'll run through. If you want head-to-heads, despite the
Yeah.
bets, I'm going to go the Knights close. You said you're on the Chookies, weren't you?
I'm gonna go the Roosters.
I think we're both on the Storm. We made that clear.
Yep,
Both on the
both with the
Bronx.
Broncos.
Both on the Warriors. But again, Johnson, again, for betting and tipping, if that's late mail, I'll be flipping that straight away to the Manly side of things. But I think it'll still be a close game. I'm going Parramatta. I don't have much faith, but I just, yeah, the Cowboys defense and that forward pack, I think if they can knuckle down for 20, I'm tipping Parramatta.
Yeah, I'm actually gonna go with you, mate. Probably should lean to the cows. As I said, they're winning, but and Parramatta got obliterated last week. But I'm just something about a few wins, mate. I'm with you with Parramatta as well.
There's been some upsets. So like, I wouldn't think it would be much of an upset, Bob, but the odds it would be. Souths, again, I'd like to think there's some big comeback story here or fight for the coach or fight for the group. But all the noise today has just really hit home. I think this is for Cronulla. If they really want to lay the boot in here, there's never going to be a better week to do it. So,
Sharks for me, and Tigers,
go.
Dragons. I'm going with the Tigers.
Yeah.
Head to head, that's under duress, but I'm going with the Tigers.
I'm going to go it, not with a lot of faith. I don't really like the bench. I've honestly wanted to tip the Dragons, but I don't know which Dragons I'm going to get. But if they won, wouldn't surprise me. And the last ones are obviously both on the Raiders.
Great.
So there you go. Thank you, bluebet.com.au, for those odds and supporting the charity account. As always, remember, if you're going to have a bet with anyone, make sure you do it with the true blue bookie. There is nobody better. I've started stone cold in terms of the charity account so far. I've had a few no tries, which has absolutely murdered me, but hopefully I can get hot like I did last year where I pulled off 5 and 6 in a row because I've got zero so far. But remember, what's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, call 1800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Timmy, what's on for the weekend? You got watching any footy? You getting out doing anything? What's happening?
Penrith are the bye, so that won't be it. No, mate, a bit of a quiet weekend, a bit of family stuff, so probably just on the lounge, get some eyes across the group ones on Saturday, and Masters is the big event this week. So I'll be up nice and early each of the days, and catching that, mate. So one of the that's on the bucket list. So yeah, eyes will be glued to the box this week, mate. Having a couple of options on the punt, but yeah, group racing and the Masters is where my focus outside of rugby league will go. How
You like, who do you like in the
are you,
Masters?
mate?
Tip for the punters?
Hard to go against the favorite, Scottie Scheffler, but if the thing I like about golf is you can have a couple of $5 pops and they're typically around the 40s, and a thing like the Masters is where it's going to go. So, I a little bit on maybe Tony Finau. He's around 41s. I like as a real roughie as an Australian. I want to see him do well. Minwoo Lee at 70s. So a little bit on him there. Scottie Scheffler said he's $5.50. It's too short in that space. So anywhere around that. But yeah, interesting dynamic. See how the LIV golfers come over and you know how that transitions in the Masters. They're world class players. They're the best golfers in the world. They're going to turn up. Play the best four rounds. So John Rahm, back-to-back champion, can he do it? Question mark. But yeah, just always a good 4 days, mate. Do a couple of sweeps with a few mates and put some money in and then draw a couple of randoms and have a few markets around that. So that's good fun. But yeah. low betting on large margins, mate. That's where it goes.
There you
How about
go.
you, mate? You out to the footy?
I'm not sure this weekend. I've got the commentators starting back up in a few weeks. So I've got a bit of a media day that we're doing for that with all the coaches, players, and myself for the Western Central West Conference again between Doggies and Parramatta Regents. In terms of Sydney games, I'm obviously a member of the stadium for South Sharks. If South were going well, I probably would go to that game, but given the circumstances, I don't think I'll be heading into Olympic Park for that. And work-wise, I was thinking of going down to Canberra again, but I don't think I'll get to. So tried to get down there as much as I could before the commentary kicks off, but I don't think I'll be able to get there this weekend.
No, I spoke to the big man last week and just trying to tee up some times. We're sort of two ships in the night passing at the moment. In I was interstate when he was up, and I'm in a state again when he's back up here next week. So the week after, sorry. So it's yeah, I'm still need to get down the Hume and see the big man and catch up with him. But yeah, it might be a couple of weeks away. But yeah, probably the next big thing looking forward to. I'm gonna try to get out to that New South Wales Cup day in at North Sydney, the Magic Round weekend. So whilst you're catching the one there, for anyone who's keen, that looks like a fair couple of days out there at North Sydney Oval. So I think we've already had a chat about probably trying to get out there together, subject to your commentating and line up when Box is going to be there and get over the fence and yell at him and what have you. But yeah, we'll see how that goes in a couple of weeks now. That's about, oh, it's about 5 weeks away, I think.
Yeah, pretty
So
much.
yeah, put that in the calendar now, mate. Put that on the fridge and make sure I can work around it and schedule that in.
100%, my friend. Well, again, mate, much appreciated for jumping on and having a talk about the footy and some punting. Big weekend, like you said, some good races, some good football. Again, fingers crossed we get some belters, Masters golf. If you're a degenerate like you are, there's never enough sport. And also, I think UFC 300 this weekend. So there's another one I forgot. There's an absolute belter card there with 12 former champions. So plenty to look
Yeah,
forward to.
it's a great pickup, mate. Pick of the fights for me, Justin Gaethje, Max Holloway. Gaethje, too strong. I think he's around $1.65. Yeah, it's going to be, mate, it's a fair weekend of sport. That's what I love about the Masters, too. You're up early, so you're already glued to the box, catching things and get your weekend around that. Throwing some footy games, throwing a bit of punch-ons on a Sunday. It's, do this weekend, mate, before I go out and getting about next the weeks after.
There you go. We've just filled you in. There's plenty of other things going on around the NRL. Thank you again, bluebet.com.au. Fingers crossed we could find some more winners across the weekend and crack open the charity account for this season. Timmy Witt, you're a star. Thanks again, mate, for jumping on and have a great weekend.
Always a pleasure, mate. Good to see you.
Cheers, champion. And for everybody out there, as always, enjoy your week and enjoy your rugby league.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.